Right, hello. Once, while I get myself set up, well, I've got two things. One, is anyone going to shout at me if I close that window? All right, if I put that close. I'm getting a breeze. You do. Are you getting a bit warm? I'll be okay, because I'm going to be warm on the stage anyway, aren't I? But the other thing is it too late now to say Happy New Year to people? You can still do it. So I'm not going to sound like a fool if I start by saying Happy New Year. When we say Happy New Year, it's kind of like a... But you say, I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, don't you? So it's kind of like it's a wish or a prayer or a hope that this year's going to be better than last year, right? A fresh start. And we prepare and we make plans for that. I hope it's not just been me, but I've been thinking a lot about the year ahead. I've actually been trying to get organised because I'm like, oh, I'll go back from maternity leave. When's that going to happen? What holidays am I going to have in between then? Booked a couple of holidays and all that kind of thing. Perhaps made a kind of resolution or two. That's personally not my thing, resolutions, but I know some people have lots of resolutions. So thinking about that new year, we're going to think about it a bit more this morning. What are we expecting from this year? For our village, for us personally, for our church? And what about the much bigger picture? For instance, what if 2024 is the year that Jesus returns? Are we expecting Jesus to come back this year? That's a thought that struck me. Can I tell you, I don't often reflect on the second coming. It's not something I think about loads, for better or for worse. That's how it is. But I was in December, I was sitting feeding Jamie. That seems to be a really good time for me to pray and reflect at the moment. And that thought just popped into my head and I was really challenged about it. And I was like, okay, well, do I expect that? And what if it is this year is the fulfilment of God's plan when the kingdom of God is realised fully? So his plan, and obviously from the beginning, he knew how much we'd screw up, how much we're stacked in sin and just tangled, even though, Paul says about, we know the good thing we want to do, but we just can't seem to do it. But God knew this and he got a plan to make it good. And throughout the Old Testament, it's all pointing to Jesus. And in the New Testament, you've got that ultimate sacrifice for sin. He deals with it, which allows us to have communion and harmony with God. And it's done. It is finished. But we live in this in-between time, don't we? When the kingdom only seems to make these kind of incremental gains on the earth as we know it. And we're kind of really waiting for when actually his kingdom will be fully realised in that kind of dramatic way that's spoken about in Revelation. And it's a new heaven and a new earth. So that was the thought that struck me. And do I think that Jesus is going to come back this year? Does anyone here? Who knows, right? Helen said 12th of December. So if anyone's taking... But sorry?
September.
Oh, September. I misheard you. That was an important mistake. Yeah, 12th of September. And then thinking about that future that God has promised us, this year or otherwise, how does it make you feel? Do you see anything? Do you have a vision for that? When I kind of thought about this, I kind of maybe had just like a really hazy vision, kind of like a... That's right, I've got a prop. Kind of like I was just looking through a telescope and I could just see very... Oh, it would have been better to bring Rory's. He's got a... one of those, what do you call them, where you move it and it kind of, the different colours. I should have brought one of those, because that's more kind of what I'd say my vision for this is. It's kind of like a hazy, kind of greeny, misty thing that I can just about see, and it kind of makes me happy, but I don't really understand it very much. That's kind of what I think and feel about. But like I said, it's not something I do think about very regularly. And I don't actually think deliberating the date or year is something we should fixate on, really. But that idea of expecting God's kingdom, because I do think we are called to expect it, I thought that was something worth exploring this morning. And so we're going to take the opportunity to do that and reflect a little bit on what it kind of means to wait expectantly as well. I've got slides. I wonder what's on my first slide. Let's have a look. Oh, yeah, that was... We did that. Let's move on to the next. And how do you feel about Jesus' return? Right. Expecting what? Right, okay, so what do we expect? So I'm going to start in the Bible and start right at the end. Right at the end. Revelation, very near the end. Very nearly the last bit of Revelation. Got these bookmarks in, but I'm afraid they're going to rip the pages. It's tricky. Right, so Revelation 22, verse 20. It says, "He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." So it's one of the many verses using that word soon about the second coming and to, you know, calling us to expect it. And kind of central to our faith, isn't it? It's all about fixing our eyes on Jesus. Like, kids in Sunday school very quickly learn that the right answer to every question is Jesus. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. But it's not like an airy-fairy image that we need to have focused on, is it? We have to know him, don't we? We have to read the Bible, know what he did, know what he's like, have that kind of living, active relationship with him. And part of that is his promises. So part of that is the kingdom come. It is the second coming. And at the end of that Revelation passage I just read, it says, "Come, Lord Jesus." And there's like an earnestness to that. It's like a, come on, God, arrive. and I think if we're going to get that kind of, that joyful expectation, really wanting that to happen, we need to have a vision of our own of what to look forward to. So I'm going to have a few passages, slightly longer passages, read from Isaiah and Revelation, and going to encourage everyone to kind of mentally take notes of anything new or old or anything else that God pops into your head during this time. Just trying to kind of let God's word wash over you and feel, get a feeling of what that vision is. Now, I've asked Helen to come up and read a bit from Revelation, which I've got earmarked here if you want. I haven't asked anyone else to come up, but can I have a volunteer to come up after Helen and do an Isaiah bit? Did anyone volunteer or I'll pick? Oh, it's a long bit, Helen. You don't want to have to do both of them. It means you get to sit and listen. Linda, do you mind? Oh, Margot, you've put your hand up. You'll get Isaiah in a minute. But let's listen to Helen first. So we're going to read from... I'm pretty certain I've got this on the slide. Yes. Okay. Revelation 21. So there's some bits in it. I've got it written there. Do you want to use the... You'll go that way. And then you're good. You're good. I'll switch myself off and sit down.
Okay, so this is various verses from Revelation 21, starting with verse 1. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" And verse 10. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." And then verse 18. "The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city wall were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made out of a single pearl. The great streets of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Thanks, Helen. Margot, you've got a simple bit. You've got it already. That's great.
Isaiah 65:17-25, New Heavens and a New Earth. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the works of their hands. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord.
Margot, thanks Helen. I hope you didn't think I'm lazy by having such big passages of scripture kind of read out to help to kind of just, I kind of felt like I didn't want to put words in the place for what God has kind of got planned. And personally, I think, I don't know what stood out to you guys, we'll discuss it in a moment. But I find the Isaiah bits, there's lots that kind of repeat a little bit. I find the Isaiah bits, sadly, it's the bit that the bits that are about having basically done work and it not getting, I don't know, destroyed by famine or plague, whatever, is no one coming in and grabbing it and nicking it. Like, you can do a day's work and know that that's good and that's done and it's not going to get stolen away from you. You can have satisfaction in that. It sounds really sad, but that's the bit that I was like, oh, that's really good. That really appeals to me. But yeah, can I ask people to kind of a little all agey really for us? But can we kind of turn to neighbours and just say, what is it that you see when you think about Jesus' second coming, the kingdom coming its fullness? What is it that has either popped out to you today, or just generally that's kind of what you have a little bit as your vision? We'll take a couple of minutes just to do that now. Helen, you're all talking far too much. This is great, and I totally want these conversations to continue at the end. Hey, it's so good that we've got so much to say about this, because I really didn't have that many thoughts on it to start from. And we've heard from Isaiah and John, but I think we should turn to the main man himself, Jesus. Because he spoke about this in a passage you very much won't know about, when he was in Jerusalem, and it was shortly before the Last Supper and the crucifixion, but he's kind of strolling out of town, chatting to his disciples and speaking about, as you do, the signs of the end of the age. And you find that in most of the Gospels. And I'm just going to read a much shorter section, you'll be glad to know, from Matthew now, to hear what Jesus has to say about it. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So probably not the 12th of September then, Helen, if he's coming at a time we do not expect. No, I think...
Where was that reading from?
I'm so sorry. I have it on the slide, I think. Matthew 24, 42, 44. I'm so sorry. So that whole idea... These ideas of being unexpected, but you're meant to be prepared for it, seem like very contrasting ideas. And I certainly found it very ironic that when I was like, right, I've told Peter I'm going to do a talk on expectations 2024, I'm going to do some investigation in the Bible, that the word unexpected and do not know the hour, and that this section actually, the section, the title of the whole thing is the day and hour unknown. So it's unknown when it's going to happen. So my whole thing about, is it 2024? Kind of doesn't matter when, this me and Howard were just speaking about it. It doesn't really matter when it happens. And actually, I think, you know, we're called to watch and wait expectantly, but we don't have a time scale. It's going to take us by surprise. And it's not about knowing or guessing when. And Jesus is saying the important thing is to be prepared. It's not about trying to figure out when. It's about being prepared. So... how do we do that? How do we watch and wait expectantly? And what do we do to prepare? So when I was expecting Rory, I did not expect him to come on his due date. I'd got the extension to sort out, and that was my main focus. And then after his due date, on the couple of days I finished work before, that's when I was going to get prepared and do things like pack bags for the hospital and things like that. So I was not expecting when he came, was it 9 days early? And the builders had left, they'd done the guttering and they'd left nails on the driveway. And then as we went to go to the car, Si started freaking out that we were going to get a flat on the way to hospital. So I took a deep breath, started picking up nails off the driveway. Can I say 2 minute intervals between contractions at this point, less than an hour before Rory arrives, I was picking nails off the driveway. I really wasn't ready, guys. I wouldn't recommend it. I'd not been expecting him. And I think we need that kind of vision and expectation of God that we've just been kind of looking at. Or we won't have that kind of inspiration that, like, yes, we do need to get ready for this. But now as we're kind of thinking about the year ahead, we've got, you know, maybe we've got a bit of vision now, but how are we kind of practically getting ready for Jesus' return? And Jesus got the answers in the next bit in Matthew 25. And I feel bad at this point because I'm going to give a little bit of a brief overview of the kind of three parables, the three pointers that are in Matthew 25. But actually, this is going to be homework because it's just totally not within the scope of the sermon this morning to go into it, which is a shame because I feel like it's like a really practical part of it. You'll be glad to know none of it's particularly, if you've been walking the Christian life for a while, none of it's particularly mind-blowing stuff. But I feel like in the context of Jesus has told us straight after going, we don't know when it's going to happen, but you need to get ready. He's gone, 1, 2, 3, these are the three things you need to think about. And I think in that context, for me at least, it's more powerful and I need to think about it a little bit more. And I'm actually hoping to put together like a bit of like a question sheet or something like that that we can have in home groups. So you've got a men's group on Tuesday. I'm not sure I'm going to have it ready by then, but hopefully by next month. But I'm going to go ahead and invite other people who want to come to our home group. It's on a Monday. I think next Monday we'll be thinking about it. So if anyone's not part of home group and wants to come along to that and talk about this stuff, then you're more than welcome. But for the moment, I'm going to give a brief overview. So it's got three parables, and each cover kind of like a different aspect of preparation. So... ready fast for some quick parables here. So you've got the 10 virgins or the 10 bridesmaids. So you've got the bridesmaids who are waiting for the groom. They've got lamps, And five are described as being wise, because they bring extra oil for the lamps, because they don't know when the bridegroom's going to arrive. And the other five don't have oil. And they actually end up missing the wedding party, because they have to go disappear off. The bridegroom's come, and they've not got any oil. They have to go back, and they miss out on the party. Which is a bit of a weird parable. It always takes a little bit to get my head around it. And I always think, oh, those five wise ones, they weren't very nice. Why didn't they share their oil? But actually, it all comes down to thinking about oil and what oil means in this parable. And when we talk about oil in the Bible, normally it's linked to the Spirit. And so actually here, I think most interpretations seem to think that the parable is talking about being spiritually prepared. And that's obviously your individual relationship with God. So it's not something you can lend or borrow out to other people, though obviously we can support one another in our journeys with God. We can't just be like, oh, you have some of my relationship with God. It doesn't work like that. So that's the first one. So we've got 10 bridesmaids, spiritual preparation. And then we've got the parable of the talents. So the one where the servants are left with money and some put it to work, earn more of it. Amazing, the master comes back, is very happy with them, isn't happy with the one who doesn't really do much with what he's been given. And that one's a little bit more of it. It's pointing to the importance of using well what God has given us. So bridesmaids, spiritual preparation, talent, parable of the talents, using well what God has given us. And finally, we've got the sheep and the goats. Maybe not classically seen as a parable, but it's got those well-known lines in it. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. That one's a bit more obvious, isn't it? It's about serving others who are in need. So three aspects of preparation: spiritual readiness, using what God has given us, and helping those in need. So I'm very much thinking I need to be thinking about this when I'm like prepping for my year. How am I preparing these kind of three different areas? Does one of those aspects stand out to you at the moment that you're thinking, oh, actually, I probably should do something about that. I probably should plan to get involved in whatever it is. I'm going to have some questions up on the slide at the end. In fact, I could probably put them up now. Keep on missing my slides. I don't know why I bothered. but I've got some questions there that you can look at the end. But as an encouragement, I just want to say, it's really easy to feel discouraged when you're like, right, I need to get spiritually prepared. And I think, well, God's got a lot of work to do on me. If Jesus was coming back this year, I'm not going to be prepared, quite frankly. I'm not going to have reached spiritual perfection. It's easy to suddenly go down that route and think we need to be perfect, even though we know that we can never be perfect. That's the whole point, right? That's why we need Jesus, is that we can't be perfect. But it's so easy to get into that, in that mindset. And just to say that in the 10 bridesmaid parables, the wise ones, they also fall asleep. They've made some preparations, but they also fall asleep, same as the foolish ones do as well. In my mind, I see it as it's about facing in the right directions. We're facing towards God and doing what we can to make sure we're kind of still facing towards him and still trying to maintain that relationship with him and do the things that he's asking of us. And that's why I think that parable comes first, actually, because we can't go in, use everything that God's given us, use our gifts really well, or serve others if we don't have that spiritual preparation, that actually where are we getting that energy from? We need it from God. I'm coming into land now. So I hope that rehearing those passages in Isaiah and Revelation has kind of reignited or illuminated different aspects of the vision of what Jesus' return looks like. And I hope that's an inspiration, or at least gives you something to fix your eyes on as you fix your eyes on Jesus, gives you something a bit more solid to know about him and to think about. And that inspires you as you hopefully kind of take on that challenge of preparing for Jesus' return. Just going to pray. Lord, I pray that you've whispered to us, your children, this morning, and that whisper will continue the good work you've begun in each of us as you draw us and your plan for creation to completion. That you'd inspire us and reinvigorate us with the images you've given us of end times. That you draw us deeper into you and increase the depth and breadth of our relationship with you. That you would make 2024 a happy new year for us, but more than happiness, instill deep joy in knowing you. And it'll allow that, help us to set our hands determinedly to the plough. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.